Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now, here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
All right, it's actually Bronco Monday, but the voice guy didn't take yesterday off, I guess.
We wanted to take today off.
It's regular Tuesday, but it's also Bronco Monday.
Yeah. Tomorrow we'll have Bronco Tuesday on a Wednesday, and the swimming and diving team will be in the house to talk about their season getting underway.
Sweet. Basketball, got to be having some fun here, Bob.
Wow. And the game Saturday had it all. It was a sellout. It was a game against a team that is contending for the championship in the regular season with Boise State, San Diego State. Broncos prevailed by 83-80 in a game that saw 11 lead changes. I think 10 of them were in the second half, but also saw a school record 44 points for Chandler Hutchison. And I think the thing that impressed me the most was he did it all. Mm-hmm. He hit shots to the basket. He hit three-pointers. He was 7 for 10. He hit mid-range jumpers. He made his free throw 7 of 9. He led the team in rebounds. I think he sold popcorn at halftime. And Chandler Hutchison had a performance that I've called games for 32 years. Paul G., I know you've called games here for a long, long time. You probably saw the Ron Austin 42-point game in 1971. Yep. But best single performance I've ever seen, and they needed every single one of them. Generally, when you see a guy get a score like a 44, it's in a game against a lower opponent in a non-conference game, when the opposition isn't very good. This team was very good defensively, and he was even better.
Yeah, he was indeed. Now, correct me, Chris, if I'm wrong, the Ron Austin game was against Lawrence Butler, is that right?
I believe so. I'll have to look that one up, but I think you're right.
Who was an all-conference?
Yeah, and he was scoring like 30 points a game at the time too. Yeah,
so yeah, it was against Montana. It said in 1971.
Okay, it wasn't Lawrence.
Oh, it's not Lawrence. Okay,
it was Lawrence,
but it was about that same time.
Yeah, it was about the same time. But Austin was a swing man, a 6'5" guy. Well, let me tell you something. Having seen both of those games, no comparison. Saturday night's game, the best performance, I think, ever by a Boise State player anywhere in basketball.
And there was an energy. We get in there, an hour and a half or so before the game after, I go to the shoot-around set up. There was an energy. There were people in the third deck at the very start. Generally, the third deck, if it gets there, comes very late, close to tip. But there was just a feel that you could sense that this game was big, that there was going to be something special. If you were there, I think you'll remember it a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever, Bob, called a college game before where there was no bench scoring?
For either team?
No, I mean,
they had 9. Boise State had 0.
Yeah, exactly.
I would guess probably somewhere along the line. I don't remember it, but wasn't a lot of other starters scoring either. I mean, Lexus Williams had a very important 16 points. They got 10 out of Jessup. He had a big three down the stretch, but it was the Chandler Hutchison show.
I don't remember one.
Yeah, I just don't remember one where the starting five scored and nobody else did.
For 16 points. That was ridiculous.
I've not seen that either.
No.
And that comes down the line based on his 44. But
and you kept going, no. He's got 11. Oh, no,
Now, I've seen teams. Now, San Diego State was scoring at the same time, so it was Chandler scoring his 16 to start the game, and San Diego State had, at the point he had 16, they had 9.
Yeah.
So, other people were scoring for San Diego State. I've seen teams like Boise State a couple years ago in the Mountain West Tournament. They scored the first 25 points to lead San Jose State 25-0.
Right.
But it wasn't all the points by one person. Unbelievable there, too.
And wasn't against a quality team.
I mean, I think it's going to be a tough challenge when we go down there in February.
Oh,
because they're going to
be
waiting. Yeah. I mean, they played well. I mean, if you looked at what they did, and San Diego State's a much better offensive team this year than they've been. I don't think they're quite as good defensively. They don't have that shot blocker in the middle as they've had in the past. But they can score 80, which in the past they wouldn't be able to do. No, I'm convinced the best three teams in the league, and we'll see Nevada Saturday, Boise State, not in any particular order, San Diego State, I think, is a top three team, or maybe if we're looking at top four. Boise State got Fresno the other night, and Fresno, I think Fresno might be the fourth best team in the league.
Yeah. Pretty exciting stuff. KBOI News Time, 8:43. We'll be back with Coach.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
We're back on Bronco Tuesday. Boise State with a tremendous win, 83-80 over San Diego State on Saturday night. Broncos have Chandler Hutchison go for 44. After the game, Coach Rice stopped by our postgame show and was just gushing over the game as it was played.
It was one of the best college basketball games I've been involved in. And because I'll tell you what, credit to San Diego State. They came in with a great game plan. They played their tails off, and they played an A-plus game. I thought we played a pretty darn good game. You know, I don't look at the film, give it a grade later, but we answered every challenge and every, you know, they hit one, we hit one. We'd, you know, they'd take the lead, we'd answer. And you know, we knew, you know, that first half, it was like we played really good, and you were hoping to be up 15-16, but I told our guys, they said, it doesn't make any difference. We weren't going to knock them out in the first half. I mean, you saw with your eyes, they're a really good basketball team right now. And, you know, we know that. We knew that coming in, and that's why we needed every fan that was here tonight.
And every fan that was there tonight helped get them by them. Paul, Jay, and Chris, the Broncos, the last three games, the two road games, Wyoming and Fresno State, and then the San Diego State game, the first 2 minutes or so, the Broncos have been ahead at half all three games and have let the lead get down. Now, yep. At Wyoming, they gave up the lead. Fresno State, they did a nice job of never letting Fresno State get in front. And then against San Diego State, it got tied. And then San Diego State eventually, midway through the second half, would get the lead. And then down the stretch, it would just go back and forth like dueling banjos. And again, the lead singer was Chandler Hutchison with 44, and Rice spoke about what he contributed.
It was one of the most amazing, because he did it off 21 shots. You know, he didn't take, I mean, I've seen guys get 44 and they took 30 shots. You know, nine more shots, he gets 60. He probably does get 60. I mean, it was one of the single best performances I've seen, and maybe one of the best ones, no offense, hey, but one of the best ones I've ever seen on this
court. It is the best one that I've ever seen in person.
And that was Abe Jackson, and they're referring to the game in which Abe Jackson had 9 3-pointers in a win for Boise State against Gonzaga that Coach Rice, I don't think, will ever forget, because he was on the losing side of that one.
Yes, he was.
And then Chandler Hutchison also visited with us after the game, talking about what he was able to accomplish with the 44 points and, more importantly, the Bronco win.
I would say probably when I banked in the three in transition down there on that end. Leading up to that, you know, I had hit a couple in a row, and I'd feel it getting more, you know, you, as a player, as you hit a couple, especially early on, then it's like, oh, look out. But to bank that one, you know, and hit that fourth one in that first half, after that I knew right there that, you know, it was going to be something special. But also in the back of my head is, you know, I wanted to be efficient, though. I didn't want to force bad shots and just try to go get mine. I wanted to just continue to play hard and take the baskets as they came to me, and, you know, have a little, not a little bit of confidence, but, you know, when the shot presents itself, to just take it, step up and take it, and, you know, a bunch of them fell tonight.
And the actual question that was asked by Abe on the postgame show was, at what point did he think he might, you know, be having a special game, and he referenced a three-pointer in the midway part of the first half.
Yeah, so. It was amazing, and I remember that shot, and my wife and I were watching the game, and we went, are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. It was amazing. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. Take a look down the road after this.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Bronco Monday on a Tuesday. Bob Beeler joins us. Boy, a huge game on Saturday, which kind of sets up a trap game on Wednesday.
Wednesday night, that's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Seems like a Monday today, but it's Tuesday. So tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip, Boise State hosting Utah State, a team in the middle of the pack of the conference. They're three up, three down, so they're decent. And Boise State will be hosting at 7 o'clock, needing a win to keep pace. Nevada's 5-0 in the conference. Boise State is 5-1, and the two teams will show down in Reno Saturday night for 8 o'clock Mountain Tip. Of course, you can hear all Boise State basketball action right here on 670 KBY. So our pregame, 6:30 tomorrow, and then 7:30 Mountain Time on Saturday. But you got to win this one to make Saturday a battle for first place. Nevada's not going to lose at San Jose on Wednesday.
I got an instant message from Bob. It says, I was at the San Diego game. My friend and I, who go to most of the home games, did a lot of head shaking watching Hutch. We will be there on Wednesday. This basketball team deserves to have a full house every home game.
They do. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely true. Nevada, 27-1 their last 28 home games.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
27-1, they've won 14 straight games against teams from the Mountain West going back to last year's tournament.
And of course, they won the regular season last year. Mm-hmm. They won the tournament last year. They went to the NCAA tournament as the only team.
Yep.
The latest, Joe Lunardi has them as an 8 seed. That's Nevada as the top team in the league. They have Boise State as an 11 seed. No play-in right now for Joe Lunardi after the win against San Diego State. They were projected to be in the play-in game and go to Dayton again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be nice to get out of that. But I think both of these teams need to just keep winning to get in. I think the Mountain West is going to get two teams this year.
Yeah, I think so, too. And might as well be one of them.
Sure, why not?
The Martin Twins, Jordan Caroline. The one thing I'll say about Nevada, they've got a lot of talent, very good, but they're not overly deep. They basically run it with about six guys. So Boise State goes about eight deep when they play, so maybe the extra guys coming in, Hobbs, who did not score. As you mentioned, nobody scored. He's been fantastic off the bench, and you can just about count on him for double figures. But, you know, he's a guy that takes it to the hoop a lot like Chandler, and he didn't score against him. So maybe he'll be the guy to have the big game against Nevada.
Yeah, could be nice. And we are not overlooking Utah State.
No, we are not. This team is decent. You know, I don't think, based on the body of work, they're a team that's going to win the league. They're 3-3.
Yeah,
but they're going to be in the middle somewhere. They're going to be fighting for a first-round bye to get in the upper half of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a team that is good enough. If you're thinking about, oh, we got this game against Nevada on Saturday, and, oh, it's going to be for first place, got to take care of business. This is a business-like game. And, Chris, you were saying that, you know, having a game like New Mexico where you go out there and from start to finish just, you know.
Yeah, it was four games ago, and at Taco Bell Arena, they beat New Mexico kind of unexpectedly, 28 by 28 points.
Right.
And it was easy to watch, let's put it that way, compared to the last three games, including the loss to Wyoming.
But the thing is, they're winning these close games.
I think their record is like 5-1 in close. They've been really good at close games. I mean, that's why maybe losing the game at Wyoming was so unexpected, because they've done everything they need to pull things out.
I don't want
to
have
shows this weekend.
Thursday at 6 right here on 670 KBY. Come on down to the Stonehouse. Our two-player guests last week both turned in career highs Saturday and won player of the week in the conference. Riley Looper on the women's side, Chandler Hutchison on the men's side. They were our guests last week. So we ought to see who wants to be player of the week this week and invite them down.
They're probably elbowing each other out of the way. All right, thanks, Bob. KBOI News Time, 8:56. Great season for Boise State. We'll be back with Idaho Talks Live after a news break at the top of the hour.
KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning. It's 9:06. Paul J. and Chris on a Tuesday morning. How about the ballistic missile threat, which proved not to be a threat.
The one
in Hawaii.
The one for Hawaii. Did you know that Japan had almost the same thing happen to them?
Yeah, so we got a hacker, right?
A couple of days later. I don't know. In Hawaii, they said it was a mistake that was actually made by one of their people, and they've reassigned that individual for the time being.
Reassigned him. I'd have reassigned him.
Well, that's. I think that's what they're trying to decide, whether or not to fire this person. And It was 38 minutes of panic for a lot of people in Hawaii because they immediately got these messages on their cell phones and television and everything, and, you know, on radio, of course, that said that there is a ballistic missile headed toward the Hawaiian Islands, and this is not a drill.
Yeah, it said ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill.
So let's say you're vacationing in
Hawaii.
That'll
shake you up.
Let's say you're vacationing in Hawaii or you're over there for a ball game or something, and you're in your hotel room. You get this. What do? Where do you go?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. Put on your bathing suit very quickly and go out and jump in the ocean.
Yeah, you know, and my wife and my daughter and I, you know, we got kind of on a conference call, and we decided that if that happened, we dress up real nice, get a nice bottle of wine, sit there and on the beach and talk about good times.
And then accept your fate.
Wait for our head to be blown off. there's nothing else you can do.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a sensible way to look at it. I'm just not sure how many people would have that presence of mind to just do something calmly.
Well, I'm sure I'm saying it so it sounds calm.
Yeah.
But I'm
I broke the bottle of wine and dropped all the food on the way here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to be calm. It didn't work.
That's amazing.
And then it happens in Japan. I guess what this means is everybody is getting ready. I mean, they do this periodically anyway, but everybody is getting ready in case something happens. Mm-hmm. The only country that's bothered to threaten anybody is North Korea.
Correct.
Unfortunately, North Korea seems to be a lot closer to
Hawaii,
Japan and Hawaii than it is to a whole lot of other places.
Yep. As the recent missile attack false alarm demonstrated, Americans are simultaneously worried about nuclear war and not seriously prepared for it.
The problem
goes far beyond inept handling of an emergency alert system.
Well, have we ever really been prepared for it? I mean, the military may be prepared for it. I don't know. But
yeah,
as a target human, I mean, you know, even back when we were preparing for it, they told us to hide under a desk, which of course would have meant absolutely nothing.
Tuck, roll, and cover.
In a nuclear explosion, debris is not your biggest problem.
No, because you know, there's all the other nasty stuff.
Yeah, radiation, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Take for example the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC recently announced a program to work on preparing for a nuclear attack. While a nuclear detonation is unlikely, it would have a devastating result. There would be limited time. Yeah, thanks. To take critical protection steps. Despite the fear surrounding such an event.
Like to move into an underground...
Planning and preparation, you know, can lessen deaths and illness.
Pre-prepared shelter, like in that Cloverfield movie.
Well, yeah, exactly. And like in the 50s.
Yeah.
And everybody had a bomb shelter in their backyard.
Right. Now, if you're in, say, Oklahoma or Iowa, people still have a storm cellar.
Potato cellars.
However, in a nuclear explosion, a lot of your storm cellars are going to go the same place as everything else.
Yeah, they're not built.
Which is kingdom come.
Very sturdily.
Yeah. The emergency alert about the ballistic missile threat that sent Hawaii into the panic is being blamed, as I said, on a wrong button being pushed during a shift change.
Man.
The civil defense employee that pushed the button caused more than 1 million Hawaiians to believe they were about to be struck by a nuclear missile on Saturday, and the employee, as it says, will be reassigned. Instead of triggering the test of the system, the employee hit the button, and it went into the actual event mode. There is a screen that says, "Are you sure you want to do this?" said Vern Miyagi, who oversees the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency. And yes, that's the same last name as in The Karate Kid. And the employee inadvertently confirmed it.
Mr. Miyagi.
Which means that he didn't hit one wrong button, he hit two.
God, it seems like you should hit five.
Miyagi. Well, and they're going to try to change. This is what I heard yesterday. They're going to try to change it so that two different people have to acknowledge it mm-hmm. before this sort of thing will happen. On the other hand, if there's only one working, that would be difficult. Miyagi says the employee feels terrible about what happened and has
really?
Been reassigned for the human error. The president said that what happened was a state thing. In other words, it was Hawaii's fault, and that the federal government will get involved to help Hawaii. I don't know. Now, reassigned to me means given a different job, but they're going to review and see if this individual, you know, needs to be fired for doing something shady or just incredibly stupid. Like I said, if there's a thing that comes up and said, "Are you sure?" and this individual hit yes, well, I mean,
that means he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, well, he wasn't paying attention, because if he'd have been paying attention, he would have realized it's not saying, "Are you sure you want to override the test and do a real one?" Whoops.
Back during the Cold War, when Americans feared with reason that we might face a massive nuclear exchange with the old Soviet Union, we had a lot of planning, a lot of infrastructure in place
yeah.
to deal with the aftermath. Such an exchange would have been much worse.
Like the giant space arc.
Yeah, than anything we're likely to see now. The standard unit of counting casualties, remember that?
Yeah.
A mega death. That's 1 million dead people. Now it's just a name of a nostalgia heavy metal act. But an attack by North Korea or Iran, or perhaps terrorist groups backed by one or the other or someone else, would be bad enough. Getting serious about preparation does make sense.
And they spelled it without the second A.
Yeah.
Dave Mustaine and whatnot. Yeah,
exactly. It's amazing. I didn't find out about it till it was over. My wife found out about it while it was going on.
Yeah.
I'm going, really?
Now, I have a cousin who lives in Hawaii, and I didn't hear from her. On the other hand, she spent 20-plus years in the Army. So I'm thinking she's not one necessarily to panic. Call me crazy.
It went out to every phone, right?
Yeah, well, as far as I know, yeah.
Neither the CDC nor the nation was ready to be serious. CDC preparation program wound up being politicized with activist scientist Edwin Lyman, quoted in the New York Times back then as saying it's a predictable response to the Trump administration. Really?
Yeah.
Which is inflaming tensions and raising the risk of nuclear war.
Everybody,
I think that's a stretch.
Well, everybody on television who makes a statement is going to say it's about this or it's about that, or they're going to attribute it to something. I'm thinking it's some guy who was hungover. I don't know. I mean, we have no idea why this individual hit the buttons that he did, or she. My cousin, by the way, said on Saturday, a little afternoon, we are okay, but this was a very emotional morning.
Good God, I guess.
This was totally unacceptable, the response time to fix it.
And wouldn't it, I mean, you know, you go there and, Rodney, I've never liked you. I can be honest now because we're both going to be dead. But you're a piece of crap.
Yeah, that's happened on a whole bunch of sitcoms.
Mm-hmm. 916.
Well, now that we're going to die, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Now you can text Paul, Jay, and Chris. Text your message to 208-336-3700. Standard text rates apply. Sponsored by Diamond Heating and Cooling.
There are important things people should know in advance about how to respond to a nuclear attack. Many of them were common knowledge during the Cold War, but are largely forgotten now. I still remember them.
Mm-hmm.
When Hawaii's false alarm went out Saturday, most of the people receiving it had no idea what to do. The message said simply, seek immediate shelter. So here's what you should do, all right?
All right.
In the event of an attack, the best thing to do is summarized in that quaint duck and cover film from the 50s. Get undercover as quickly as possible. If you have advanced warning, you should go to the sturdiest indoor area you can reach. Take whatever food and water you can easily carry. Like my wife said, get in a bathtub. I don't know if that doesn't appear to be on here.
Well, you'll die clean.
I didn't say fill it with water.
Oh.
If your first warning...
That's true, you didn't.
...is a brilliant flash of an exploding atom bomb, you have just a few seconds before it goes from brilliant light to searing heat. Swell.
So what would they say at that point? Make your peace with God.
Yeah. Bend over and kiss your
goodbye. We know that one.
You have to get under or behind something that will block the light and ideally something that will provide some shelter from the blast wave.
So try to find a larger person.
I'm sticking with you.
There we go.
Once a blast has passed, you have a few minutes before fallout. Man.
It's depressing to even to think about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I made it through everything. Wait a minute. What's that stuff?
Thank God I'm alive. Hey,
radioactive dust from a nuclear explosion starts to settle.
Yeah.
It's snowing. It's snowing.
It burns.
You want to get or stay indoors with as much mass between you and the fallout as possible.
Your picnic on the beach idea is starting to look better all the time.
Basements are good. Middle floors on high rises are good. Underground parking garages and subway stations are really good. When the fallout starts to settle, now how do you get out of there? Even a couple of days sheltering in place could save your life.
That is a good question.
So all you have to do is stay where you are for days.
And let's say that somebody decides to set off a nuclear bomb and it lands near Hawaii. Do those things, would that thing cause a wave that would make you not want to be underground?
You see, my daughter had this theory that it actually went and missed.
Oh, and that it wasn't a drill.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting theory.
Mm-hmm. But she is one of those.
I don't know. I get the feeling, though. Well, and this, I don't want this to sound naive, but I get the feeling that had there been an actual missile fired at Hawaii,
we'd know
that somebody would simply have said something.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was an actual missile fired at Hawaii.
7 hours after the explosion, radiation drops to a tenth of the original level. After 7 times 7 hours, which is 2 days, it's a tenth of that, a hundredth of the original.
That's starting to sound biblical.
Mm-hmm.
7 times 7 days.
Begun, you're dead.
Yeah, what you said.
Mm-hmm. So, thank God there wasn't one. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:38. Let's go to the phones. Jim of Boise. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, a little levity. I hope that if something like that happens, somebody calls me on my landline and tells me to kiss my ass goodbye.
Well, they might. Have you got a designated person to do that? Or?
No, but I like the idea of taking wine down to the beach. Now, it'd take me a few hours to get to the beach, but I could try, I guess.
But if you were in Hawaii, though, see, we were basing that on if we were in Hawaii.
Yeah, if you were actually in Hawaii for some reason, like vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's easier said than done, but the worst thing you could do is probably worry. It doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
So, if it were up to me, we wouldn't, I'm okay. The bomb ended World War II. But if it were up to me, we wouldn't have invented the thing and all that, et cetera, et cetera. But then again, if it were up to me, we wouldn't have cell phones either, so or computers. So anyway, I don't know.
We'd but, still be throwing rocks and sending smoke signals.
There we go.
Well, I go back with bows and arrows. I mean, at least they didn't pollute the air with gunpowder smoke.
True.
So anyway, I don't know. It's maybe I'm just a blithering idiot, but I'm most assuredly not worried. Even with Trump, I think Trump and back in North Korea, I think they kind of have an understanding, you know. They're playing on each other's frequencies, and I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And you could be
and
very...
And like you say...
You could be very right about that.
Yeah, and like you say, you can't do anything about it, so go with the flow, baby.
Yep.
Yep.
Enjoy life day by day.
There you are. Thanks, Jim.
I'll have to give that a shot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Got some instant messages. Let's see. H.G. McCall says maybe the guy who hit the button was in a panic. But I'm thinking the panic didn't start till after the button was hit. However, if the person was in a panic, there must have been a reason for
he
it.
He left. He left.
Yeah.
It was a shift change.
Oh, so he hit it on the way out the door.
Mm-hmm. That's what I understand.
David Aboisi says, it seems to me that it should be the government's responsibility to provide protection for its citizens against a nuclear war. I think they try to do that. Along with a well-thought-out plan to utilize the shelter, it would take a lot of money to do it right, far more than the average person would have. It should be the number one concern, but it's clearly not. It's the one thing the government should be doing.
Well, is building bomb shelters?
I don't know. They do provide defense. I mean, we do have a fairly large defense budget.
Is he talking building bomb shelters for everybody?
Yeah, I think so. Mike Aboisi says, if those are our best directions of what to do, we are doomed. In other words, you know, hey, go find a building that's still standing. And
here's the latest from the 50s.
And stand near it. Pete Aboisi says... I don't think it missed. I think we shot it down. So he actually thinks there was a...
Yeah, so he thinks the one was shot up,
yeah,
too.
H.G. McCall says, Paul J. has the best idea. A bottle of wine. Hiroshima, a Catholic cathedral with monks inside, survived. Priests, Hugo LaSalle, Hubert Schiffer, Wilhelm Kleinsorg, and Hubert Kleslick were at the rectory of the Church of Our Lady of the Assumption, one of the few buildings that resisted the bomb blast, plus several others survived, so I guess you can survive.
Yeah, but the general health you're in and the world you have to live in.
Yeah. I think the average nuclear warhead is a tad stronger than what hit Hiroshima.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
I don't know that absolutely for a fact, but that is what I've heard.
Okay. I'm not a... military buff. Was that an H-bomb or an A-bomb?
Well, A.
So yeah, the atom bomb.
The H-bomb. And the thing is, I've never completely understood.
It wasn't a hydrogen bomb.
Okay, I've never completely understood the difference because it's hydrogen atoms that you're using, you know, in an H-bomb. So that's still an atom bomb. But they made a much more powerful bomb in the 50s than they had in the 40s. So I'm guessing that... things being what they are, they're probably considerably more powerful now.
Yeah, and smaller and more devious.
Yeah. And let's see, now that's the last of the instant messages that I have about that particular subject.
Yeah. I was looking, and I've lost it now, but there were 5 headlines on police officers being shot on CNN this morning. 5
in just various places.
5 different stories.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Somebody the other day, I'm not sure what the situation was, but somebody made a comment. I think it was somebody who's running for office in Illinois that said there wouldn't be a gun problem if there were fathers in all the homes. And apparently one of the sons of RFK got up and said, well, I didn't have a father in my home. Ooh. And, of course, the reason was somebody shot him.
Somebody shot him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Did you find that?
Can't find it.
All right.
What about the Olympics in
South Korea?
Yeah, and North Korea.
You know, the Olympics are supposed to be a positive step no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they were never supposed to be something political. They were supposed to be just the opposite. All the countries come together, compete in sports, you know, have a good time, and then go home. And then if you want to start a war, do it on your own time. But don't do it, you know, don't do it during the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they have been politicized since the first ones back in 1896, not the original Olympics, but the modern Olympics. And all sorts of things have occurred. You know, we think of like 1968 when there were boycotts and people didn't want South Africa to show up because of apartheid, different things like that. The 1980 Olympics, which were boycotted by the United States and several other nations, they were held in Moscow, Russia, and we didn't go. And then in 1984, they were held in Los Angeles, and well, the Soviet Union at that time, not Russia, but and the Soviet Union bloc and most of the Eastern Bloc countries did not show up. And in 1972, some Palestinian terrorists killed a bunch of the Israeli wrestlers and
right.
and weightlifters.
That was bad.
Yeah, and then that was terrible. The weirdest thing about that was after that happened, they just decided, well, I mean, that was a tragedy, but the games are going to go on. And so even when that was happening, they were still holding all the events as scheduled.
Yeah, who was it? Jim McKay, who was the anchor for the Olympics at the time.
And he said, they're all gone.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Because they were trying to get hostages out of there, and then somebody mm-hmm. threw a grenade into a helicopter, and that was all there was to that.
Yep. So North Korea basically wants to send an Army of Beauties cheerleading squad to South Korea. Now, if I sound like I'm being disparaging that they don't have good-looking girls in North Korea, uh-uh. Man, these girls are gorgeous.
And they called them an Army of Beauties?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's strange.
They are absolutely gorgeous.
9:47, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back with more.
Details straight ahead on 670 KBOI. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
9:51. We had that situation the other day where the president is alleged to have said something that was, you know, less than sensitive. Or
mm-hmm.
And it was kind of interesting because I found out all the news, a lot of the news channels, they were just quoting him word for word. Now, we're not allowed to quote it here.
Right.
But they were just going ahead and saying what he supposedly said, whether he did or not. A couple of instant messages we've been sent about that. Dave of Boise said, and of course this morning, a few of the Idaho legislators, Democrats, each one of them, sent a letter to our U.S. representatives, our two congressmen and our two senators, saying that they should censure or definitely condemn the president for saying something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Aboisi says, I think it's clear we need to get rid of Marianne Jordan, not the president. Her way of fairy tale thinking is what is breaking the backbone in America. If anything, I would like to see a whole lot more cussing and truth telling. I find it refreshing to see our commander in chief tell it the way it is with no sugarcoating. What words in the American language could paint a clearer picture for someone who isn't there? I would like to know what Marianne's visions for the future America and Idaho look like through her eyes. I'm going to guess probably just the opposite of yours, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
What
do you think about that?
What do I think about it? If it's true, if it's in fact accurate, I don't know. It's not the way politicians.
Shouldn't there be more? Let's put it this way: civil.
It's not diplomacy.
Yeah.
Apparently it's exactly what Trump does, but it does not qualify as diplomacy. So the people who like him don't care about diplomacy. I know that.
True.
They're not interested in diplomacy. They basically want the United States to say, here's what we're going to do, and to hell with everybody else. Gary of Emmett says, I have never believed Dick Durbin. Listen to what he said about Benghazi. Dick Durbin told everyone they could keep their doctors. Dick Durbin has lied demonstrably to the public before. He has no more veracity than the president, regardless of what you think of President Trump. So at best, it is he said situation. But of course, the press reported this factual news. The truth is, the nations mentioned are some of the roughest places on earth. Other than missionaries, few people go to them from here. What people were most upset about it is not the language necessarily that was used, although it was somewhat insensitive. And, you know, fine, there are plenty of people who don't care about other countries at all.
True.
But the fact that, or not the fact, but the report that what the president had said essentially was about black people and brown people. And he said, why don't we get more people from Norway who are about as white as you can get?
Yep.
I mean, Hitler considered people from Norway and Sweden and Finland to be, you know, the ultimate because they were the most Aryan. And I don't know. It's so the visual there is not a good one if you're trying to remain, you know, neutral or trying not to sound like you're a racist.
Right.
Yeah. Basically, what he's saying is, why do we have so many people who want to move to the United States from countries that aren't as good as ours? Why don't we get people from, you know, countries where they're doing just fine? Well, because those people don't want to move.
Exactly.
The whole point of give me your tired, you're poor, and all that sort of thing was if you want to get away from a place where
raise your status.
If you want to get away from a place that doesn't have freedom, come here because we have freedom. And there are a lot of people in this country who have said, okay, fine, but now we're full.
Yeah.
We have 330 million people, and they think, well, that's plenty. And who knows what actually is plenty? I mean, there, like I said, there are people who think they know.
Yeah. And a lot of people think that, well, we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah, I think so.
KBOI News Time, 9:55. That'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow right here.